Well, praise the Lord. I am so grateful to be here today, and let's enter into our lesson in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so much to learn, and Lord, we just ask that you teach us and ask that you speak to us. Let this not be by my words. Let this be by Scripture that we hold ourselves accountable to. And Lord, that I pray that you open our minds and hearts to receive your word, and not only to receive it, but to hear it and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Our homework for next week, I'd like you to read two sections I've got up here. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. It's just three verses. Ezra chapter 8, 21 through 23. And then read Esther chapter 4. We're going to be speaking on those next week. The title for today's message, this is number 3 in our series, For the Hunger for God, How to Fast. Now, I've already given an introduction, and I've already gone through what I call the deliverance fast, but I really haven't given you much instruction. And Sister Olivia and I, this morning, we're talking about that specifically, about instruction on how do you do it. Now, I've hinted around it. I've given several tidbits and all, but we're going to get a lot more specific today. So basically, we're going to go a whole lot by your study guide. So if you don't have a sheet, you really should hang on to those and reference those. Now, I've been continuing a theme of holiness. We've talked about that several times already. And I go back and I listen to my own messages. And I realized I made a major mistake in that I left an open-ended question. I made the statement that holiness is something that's difficult to define. Well, that's not entirely true. What I meant when I said that, it's difficult sometimes for us as a people, individually and congregationally, to set standards, or at least to have standards as to holiness. And remember I said the first standard bearer would be the Bible. Well, let's be more specific. Christ himself is our example of holiness. He said it, if you love me, keep my commandments. We put on Christ, as one place in the scriptures say. So Christ himself is the ultimate standard keeper of what holiness is. And then, of course, the rest of the Bible, we use that. And again, every organization, I don't care what it is, whether it's Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, you name it, they have particular things about their organization, just like a church, as to how you behave, how you talk, how you dress, how you act within the organization. It's an inward thing that changes us, and it manifests itself outward. This is that image I was trying to describe some time back about you become a baby Christian, and it's just like, I'm ready to take on the world. You know, I'm a baby Christian, and I'm all full of zeal, but I don't know much. I've been there. You really want to do something for the Lord. I heard Eddie say the other night in one of his messages how he read something he had written in the 1960s, and he was so ashamed because he was just so naive in some things.
The zeal without knowledge.
And I don't know if you can tell it on that screen, but the baby is sitting there just like, grrr, you know, ready to do it. Well, you gain some knowledge, you get some spiritual maturity, and you have the second guy who's simply walking by faith, trusting in Jesus, walking by faith. But that's not where you want to stay. You actually want to become like the third guy up here, the man full of armor. That's the armor of God, a soldier, so to speak. The kind of person that when your foot hits the floor in the morning, the devil and his imps will wince because here you come again. So rather than waking up in the morning and say, oh no, here's another day for the devil to attack me. How about it be the other way around? How about it be when you hit the floor in the morning that you say, okay, devil, here I come. In the name of the Lord. Ain't that what David did? You come at me with this, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And that's what he did. And that's what we are to do. So I thought that was an interesting picture to describe our spiritual maturity. And I don't want anybody to run out when I say this, but by the end of this lesson, I will let you know, I will show you how you can complete a 40-day fast if you so choose. It's not as hard as you might think. There's a person by the name of Finnis Dake. I didn't bring it with me. The popular Dake's Study Bible. It's a pretty thick study Bible. And he says this from his studies. He says, faith needs prayer for its development and full growth. And prayer needs fasting for the same reason. In other words, we need to develop our faith, right? We all agree. Even the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. Well, prayer helps to develop your faith and give it its full growth. But then prayer needs also something behind it. That's why prayer and fasting go hand in hand. Now, we've already said that the definition based on the things that has been studied in the scripture, fasting is the abstinence from food with a spiritual goal in mind or for a spiritual purpose. Now, I want to make two observations about that. The Bible specifically does not, except in one case, the Day of Atonement, does not tell you how and how long to fast or how often. There's no specific regulations for that in the scripture. In fact, God only required one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. But if you recall in our previous lessons, John's disciples asked Jesus, well, our disciples fast often, and so do the Pharisees, but yours do not. So you have to ask yourself, well, why were they fasting often? I've often heard this, well, I'm not going to fast food, but I'm going to fast television, video games, sports, etc., etc. Well, by definition, that's not biblical. Now, I'm not saying that's not good. In fact, I would agree with you. You should do away, separate yourself. I think you had said that. Somebody had said that. Separate yourself from the world and all these different manners and methods.
Otherwise, we separate ourselves what we watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because that's just another avenue of exposure that you don't want. The purpose of your fasting is some spiritual goal or spiritual purpose. Well, you don't want distractions. You want to be given over to prayer and fasting. So doing without these things like television, you know, sports and things like that. I wonder how many people could go without watching the Super Bowl. That kind of thing. Yeah, see, I don't anyway, hardly. But see, I'm not picking on the Super Bowl, but it's such a big deal. It's such a big deal. But my point I'm trying to make, that's not completely biblical when you're talking about fasting. Food in particular is what we're talking about. So the questions become, well, what does fasting do? Well, this is in your study guide. What does it do? Well, let me read you this one scripture. It humbles your soul, first of all. David made this comment. He said, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. Notice that? Humbling yourself before God. Sometimes it's referred to in the Old Testament as afflicting your soul. Kind of the same thing. In other words, it's almost as if it's, I don't want to say punishment. That's probably not the word I want to use. But do you understand what I'm saying? You're humbling yourself. Yeah, there you go. Subjecting. That's an even better term. I like that. Well, what else does it do? Well, it chastens your soul. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. If you know you've done wrong and you want to humble yourself, subject yourself to God, fasting is a good way to do this. It's a humbling, subjective experience here that I would greatly recommend. Well, I'm not going to put this up on screen because it's too much to go right now, but in 2 Samuel 12, it's in your study guide, the specific scriptures. David, you recall when he went into Bathsheba and they had this illegitimate child. Well, God had already spoken that he was going to take the child. But David, bless his heart, he laid on the earth and fasted for 7 days. For 7 days. Because he said, if by chance that God will spare him, he did this. Now the child died anyway. And when David heard of it, the people were nervous about telling him because they saw how much he was in grief while the child was sick. And they were afraid to tell him, but when he heard them whispering, he figured the child was dead. So he asked them, is the child dead? And they said, yes. So he got up and he got cleaned up. He took a bath, put on garments, so to speak. And they were confused. They said, now, wait a minute. You were in mourning while the child was still alive, but yet now it's as if nothing you can do. And of course he said, well, I can't bring him back, but I will go to him. And that's the way David looked at it. I will go to him. And that set of scriptures in 2 Samuel, I think it's a wonderful story. But David approached God with humbleness, with reverence, seeking God, and including fasting in hopes that he would sway God to change his mind.
And God does sometimes.
I think he does. And also in Jonah. How would you like this? When Jonah preached, they went on a citywide fast. I don't know how big that population was, but even the animals. Can you imagine that? Not even giving your animals something to eat. And God spared them. Well, you know, we're going to go over just some quick guidelines here. So why should you fast? Well, there's all kinds of reasons. I mentioned a couple, and by the way, I give scripture references for each of them. When you're under chastening, if you feel that God is chastening you for some reason, that's a good time. If you're under judgment, and if you're in need. Now, Ezra is an interesting story. He basically bragged on God and was ready to head back and start rebuilding the temple, and he had all this money and people and stuff like that. He was afraid to ask the king for an army to protect him because he bragged on God. He said, God is able to do this. You know, don't we sometimes do that? You know, we'll brag on God and then yet we're afraid to step out in faith. So he fasted. He and his people fasted for protection. He was in need. Well, in Esther, you'll read that in your homework, but in Esther, when they were in danger, she fasted 3 days, 3 nights. No food, no water. That was what you call a complete fast. And in Daniel, when worried over things, fasting is a good discipline to use in that case. In spiritual conflict, everybody will encounter spiritual conflict when you start getting closer to God. That's the first thing the devil wants you to do, is to try to put a wedge between you and God. And he'll do it with any way and anyhow that he possibly can. Oftentimes he uses your children. Oh, how much have we prayed for our children? Goodness. And still praying for our children. But the thing is, fasting is a way to at least gain control of yourself and get closer to God and at least get some spiritual peace from that. Same thing about when desperate in prayer, again, this could be over your children or over things, over your finances. With today's economy, that might not be a bad thing. Calling a corporate fast, really. Corporate meaning group. I actually believe in corporate fasting, by the way. I think because of people losing their jobs and whatnot, I believe we should call for a corporate fast, a church-wide fast. Yeah, do it together. Seek God together. Now, granted, we know not everybody can and is able to, but we can still call for a fast and pray. Pray for people to get jobs and pray for people not to lose jobs. You know, whenever something is affecting the congregation as a whole, like if you were going to make a doctrinal change, or let's say the church was going through a situation that was going to affect everybody in the church, negatively perhaps, Well, it's times like these that we should do a corporate fast. Call for the people who will and fast together. And I'm not saying an extended fast. Now, I would not call for people as a whole church to fast 10 days.
But each one of them.
In the Azusa Street Revival, they did. They asked the people to fast for 10 days. But I would ask the people to fast maybe one day out of a week, every week, for who knows how long, until we say it's ended. Making important decisions. You know, when we sometimes think that the apostles just went out just on the spur of the moment. Not so. When Paul and Barnabas were being commissioned to go out, that's what they did. They fasted and they prayed.
You can see how God wants us to pray over minute things, detailed things in our life.
That's right. Even the smallest things, like she's saying, the minute things, absolutely, absolutely. I'll tell you something. Now, I by no means call myself a professional at this, but when I started fasting, trust me, it was hard because I was learning new things. I just learned something new today. And by the way, I'll mention it in just a minute. But I was fasting, and then sometimes I'd fail. You know, I'd say I'm going to fast for 3 days, and I might make it a day and a half. Or some things just get in the way, or if you fast under the wrong motives. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why you may not succeed. But the important thing that I've learned, the most important thing, is not to give up. If you learn this as a discipline, I don't know if anybody in here plays any kind of sports or has played sports. Were you good at it the very first time you tried it?
Beginner's luck.
Yeah, if you were, beginner's luck. If you got that hole in one in golf the first time you hit the ball, well, you might could even call that a miracle on the burning bush caliber. I don't know. But usually you got to practice, 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 right? It's a discipline. Fasting is the same. Praying is the same. And dare I say, giving is a discipline. But anyway, now we're going to talk about our guidelines for fasting. Now, what I'm going to show you is just a few scriptures. First of all, and again, this is on your study guide, do not fast unless you have a clear spiritual purpose or goal. You shouldn't just wake up one morning and just say, you know what, I'm going to fast today. Why? Know why you're going to fast. Now, if you've got a good reason, a good spiritual goal, then do it. Make sure God's calling you to do it. Perhaps He's been doing that for a while and you just haven't really thought it was that important. The second thing is keep your fast a secret and don't tell anyone unless you have to. Now, you might have to tell your spouse or otherwise she'll make you a bowl of beans and potatoes if you hadn't had them for months. On the day that you start your fast is when she'll make your favorite dish. That's kind of defeating the purpose. So it's good to tell your spouse sometimes. But if you're just telling her for show or him for show, that's not good. You'll have your reward already. So here Jesus said this. He said, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. In other words, just get cleaned up like you normally would. What's the reason? That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. I highlighted those words that it should be done in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Well, now you might be thinking, now wait a minute, I just said a minute ago that I believe in corporate fasting. Well, the Bible gives examples of that. This is talking about individually fasting. Okay, let's make our distinctions here. The Lord is talking about your individual reasons for fasting. Don't tell nobody that you don't have to. Sometimes even Deronda will tell me that she's not even fasting, and then when I offer her to stop and get her something to eat, and she says no, well, then I know something's up. Whenever she turns down, stopping somewhere to get something to eat, I know something's up. I ask her, I say, well, why? Are you fasting today? Yes. I stop. I don't even ask why. I don't do anything. And by the way, just to help her out, I'll say, well, don't worry. Let's just go home and I'll get something there. And I end up getting from there. So you help your spouse out when you can. And you want to do this in secret. This is for you and God. Now also, and I have to bring this up because it is in his scripture. It says here in 1 Corinthians 7:5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. What's he saying? Marital relations, folks. That's what he's talking about. Your marital relations. Now, you should have your fast with the consent of the other spouse. In other words, if your spouse is getting ready to surprise you with a 3-day honeymoon, second honeymoon somewhere, don't declare your fast right before you go on your second honeymoon. It says up here, with consent. With consent. Another thing to don't do is if for a while you've not had marital relations and now you proclaim to your spouse, well, I'm going to go 7 days fasting. Well, what's the outcome? You may be having some spiritual blessing going on, but the other spouse may be tempted by Satan, and therefore he's going through a struggle or she's going through a struggle.
Put temptation there before your spouse.
Yes, exactly right. So your fasting is good, and it's a discipline, but it needs to be worked around certain things within your life. Marital relations is in the scriptures. I have to say this. I'm not trying to be cute with all this, but this is coming straight from scripture. Do it properly here. And determine the length of time for your fasting. Now, remember I said there are no specific regulations for fasting as to how long or for how often. If you haven't fasted at all, I would recommend you not start with a 40-day fast. You're just asking for problems. No. You don't want to do that. You want to take your time in building up the strength for fasting. Now, you might think, well, that's odd. How do you do that? Well, fasting is a discipline that you have to train your body. Okay? I know when Erin had her tonsils out, she couldn't eat for probably 7 days. I mean, literally, she was just on liquid for 7 days and maybe even longer. And she was hurting bad. I mean, if you've gone to where you're so used to eating, and now you can't eat a thing, maybe some of you have experienced that, some reason surgically, medically, that you couldn't eat. It's tough. It's very tough. But it did show Erin that she could go without food for a certain amount of time. At least it showed her that. She was glad of that. But it was hard. What do I recommend? When I started with one meal only. One meal only. Now, the way I do it, specifically, is I typically like to start like they did in the Old Testament. I'm not saying you have to do that. But in the Old Testament, they started just before sundown. So just before the sun goes down, your fast begins. So in that respect, you could have supper, you know, make it a light supper. Don't make it a heavy supper. You'll pay for it. Trust me, you'll pay for it. Make it a light meal. And then when the sun goes down, your fasting begins. Now, when does it end? If you go the whole day, well, when the sun goes down the next day, you can have supper after dark. So in that regard, you're really missing two meals. And you fasted a whole day. That's how they do it today. The Jews today do it. I do it that way sometimes because, for me, I think it's easier because I've strengthened my body through the day. So I've gotten my nourishment through the day. And then overnight and then through the next day, I'm usually able to make it a lot better. So you can fast for a day much easier using that method. But if you want to get up in the morning and say, okay, it's 8 o'clock this morning, I'm going to end my fast 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, that's okay too. There's no set regulation as to when you start. But the Jews today still follow that Day of Atonement type fast. They do it from the evening, just prior to sundown, until the next day, until after sundown, then they can eat again. That's how they know they've gotten a whole day. In fact, they're so strict about it, after sundown, they wait until they can see a star. Well, anybody who's hungry can imagine a star, so now they have to wait until they count at least two stars. So do you see how strict they get about it? That's pretty interesting in my book, but you know, God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Have the right motives. Have the right motives. Now, also, what else can determine the length of your fast? It could be the seriousness of your need. The more serious the need, the longer the fast probably should be. Now, if you're going to choose to do, say, one meal, well, then maybe do one meal on Monday or some day you pick. Go a couple of days, do another meal. If you choose to do it one day, maybe do one day out of the week and then do it again the next week and continue to do it until you feel like you've overcome or that God has now told you to end that fast. He'll guide you. He'll guide you if you open yourself to that. He'll guide you. You want to graduate into longer and longer fasting as God leads. Now, I say that specifically. Don't just say that I'm going on a 3-day fast. And then if you hadn't ever done it before and now you're on a 3-day fast, well, I can tell you ahead of time, day 2 is going to be really tough on you, by and large. Day 2, for some reason, is one of the toughest days for me. That's when my body is almost screaming at me to quit, quit, quit. But that's when it takes prayer and God's Spirit to overcome that fleshly appetite. But anyway, you want to graduate to that. You don't want to just launch in. And one other thing I want to tell you, don't gorge yourself before you start fasting. Gosh, I mean, one, you're probably defeating your purpose. But the other thing, you're going to really pay for it because you're going to get hunger pangs like you never known. If you gorge yourself, if you sit there and stuff yourself all through the day, it's because you know you're going to be fasting the following day, you're going to pay for it. Been there, done that. Trust me, you will not be helping yourself to succeed if you do that. And again, keep in mind that this is a discipline. You know, as you start to mean business with God, He's going to call you more into this fasting business, I believe. I think fasting is a lost discipline on the church world, the church body.
I had the Spirit of the Lord tell me to fast when Jimmy went into the hospital. And I fasted every day like that. And then one time, Fern and Eddie, I heard, I knew they needed prayer, desperate prayer. And I had my mother at that time, but I couldn't pray like I should. The Spirit laid on me a fast 4 days. And I'm going to tell you, that thing moved out of the way right now.
Praise the Lord.
From about four different directions against Fern and Eddie in the church. And it moved right now.
I believe God intervenes.
That was a desperate fast.
Yes, and see, that's what Joel had to say. Joel had to say, rend your heart and not your clothes. And he said, come to me. He said, turn to me with fasting, with praying. You know, do all of this by coming to Him. That's a great testimony because I believe God does things. And I've seen God do things for me, although it's not when I wanted Him to do it. You see, sometimes I fasted for things that didn't come to fruition until months later. Months later. So don't always expect your fast to give you an answer right then and right there. It might. Who knows? It might. But don't think it's not successful if the answer or the outcome hasn't happened yet. Believe. Believe God. Believe God. So the seriousness of the need will determine the length of your fast. All right. How will you fast? Okay, now that's what we've kind of been touching on already. Are you going to fast completely, no food whatsoever? Are you going to fast absolutely, meaning no food, no drinks? That's what Esther did in chapter 4. That's called an absolute fast. If you do an absolute fast, I wouldn't recommend you do it for too long. The body needs water. The body needs nourishment. Anything longer than that as an absolute fast is often referred to as a supernatural fast. Now, Moses had that on the mountain. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights, twice, without no food, no water. Now, any normal person, they probably would have killed him. But God protected him. Jesus himself fasted. And I believe no food and no drink in the wilderness, which really is a desert area. That's referred to as a supernatural fast. He did that, by the way, just prior to picking his disciples. So he fasted. I wouldn't recommend you go very long with an absolute fast. And I will tell you, or at least explain to you a couple of people who have done 40-day fasts and how they've done it. Now, you can decide that you might want to abstain from just food and go on some kind of a liquid fast, and I'll give you some information about that. That's what Daniel did. And also in Daniel chapter 3, he abstained from the pleasure foods. Just the things that from the king's table he decided to stay away from. Also learn to fast gradually by limiting the amount of foods until you can fast completely. So in other words, if you've never done this before, I would recommend that you at least have some kind of nourishment, whether it be a juice type fast, liquid fast, or something, or even a fast where you don't have the pleasure foods. And when I say pleasure foods in our day and time, that would, I don't know, you name it. Yeah, your chicken biscuit. For me, it would be gravy and biscuits and beans and deviled eggs and...
Sandy's going to have a little band run or something.
Yeah.
So she'll be on a liquid diet for 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
2 weeks before and 2 weeks after.
Tell her to be praying and seeking the Lord during that time.
Well, I mean, they'll probably give her Ensure or something, which has all your vitamins and stuff.
There's a way, Ensure. I don't know, does it contain milk or is it soy? There's a reason I'm asking that question, and I'll answer it here in just a minute. So you might want to figure out how you're going to do this. I'll give you some information. I'll make some information available to you on how you can determine this. But before we stop, we have to talk about what is an unacceptable fast. You might turn around and realize that you're fasting and God's not going to pay a bit of attention to it. There are unacceptable ways to fasting that God is not going to hear you. The first one I've got on your study guide down there, it says, if you're not ready to humble yourself before God, that's what he's looking for, folks. He's looking for you to humble yourself before him. If you're not willing to submit to him, to be subjective to him, well, you might be fasting for no reason. Perhaps that is your spiritual goal. You know, that's not unheard of. Maybe you do have a problem yielding to God and being subjective to God, and that's how you want to be delivered from that. So that might be an exception.
I've read some verses. If a naked you be in your heart, he wouldn't hear you.
That's right. In Psalms, he says that, yeah, if you've got some sin that you know about and you just don't want to turn away from it, well, the deliverance fast is a way to get delivered from that. We went over that last week. And by the way, if anybody wants copies of any of these messages, I've got them on CD. I'm just usually a week late getting them processed, but I've got them on CDs. I'll be glad to make you a copy. So we talked about the deliverance fast last week. If you pursue your own interest and not God's, and that comes out of Isaiah 58, or if you act cruel and mistreat others. Let me show you this. I think this is kind of interesting. In Isaiah 58, verse 3, you got two conversations going on here. You've got the people asking God questions, and then you've got God giving them an answer. Let's start with the questions. Here's the people. Wherefore? Why? Wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? They're saying, why have we fasted, and you don't even see it? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you don't take notice? This is the people. God decides to give them an answer through the prophet. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. In other words, you're just fasting, going without food, but you're going about your own business as if nothing else mattered. You know, it's one thing to go hungry. It's another thing to go hungry and then commit yourself to prayer to seek God. Do you see the difference? If I'm just going to go without food today, but I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to worry about God, I'm not going to go to church on Sunday morning, I'm not going to worship. In other words, you're just doing your own thing. You're finding your own pleasure. And you're just exact all your labors. You're going, it's talking about like if you have servants or if you have something, you're just going to go get your money is all you're doing. He also goes on to say this. I think it's interesting. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. They end up fighting. If you're going to be cruel to somebody, your fasting is not going to get you anywhere. So therefore, I'm telling you now, if you do decide to fast, and sometimes fasting can make you irritable, going home, kicking a cat, yelling at the family, and all this other stuff, it's not going to get you much. You know, ye shall not fast as ye do on this day. In other words, the Lord's saying, you're not going to fast this way on my behalf. You're not doing this for me. To make your voice to be heard on high. He's telling them up front. You fast like this, you go ahead. I'm not listening. I'm not watching. I'm not paying attention into this. So it's unacceptable to fast when your motives are not pure. When your motives are simply just to go hungry, but yet it means no more than that to you, well, you're not going to be heard from on high, according to Isaiah. Here's another unacceptable fast. Jesus himself said, verse 16 of chapter 6 from the Sermon on the Mount, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Now, at that time, when he was talking about the hypocrites, he was mainly referring to the Pharisees, but not just the Pharisees. Of a sad countenance. Now, I'm not sure how to make a face so it looks like I'm hungry, starving to death over here. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. How would you do that? I mean, that's interesting. But somehow they're making their faces look such that they're fasting. So that the people that they meet on the street, oh, you poor soul, you must be fasting today, and pat them on the back. Well, but it says they disfigure their faces, that they appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, they have their reward. That's what they wanted to do anyway. They wanted to show. They wanted to show men that I'm fasting. So if I stood up here without pure motives and just simply told you, hey, folks, I'm fasting for the next 3 days, so don't offer me anything to eat. I've got my reward. So, how do you fast for 40 days? Well, Bill Bright from the Campus Crusade for Christ was so burdened for the young people of our nation and our nation as a whole that he fasted for 40 days and then he did it again for the next year. The following year, he did it again. Four times he fasted 40 days, no food. I know he drank liquids probably all four of those times. And that's the ones I know about. And I've read about some others who fasted for 40 days. Well, how can we do it? Well, one way, fast one day a week for the next 40 weeks. Or every 2 weeks. Whatever your strength allows you to do. That's one way you could do a 40-day fast. And you might say to me, well, that's not the same thing. Come on, or that's not the same thing. Why isn't it? If you're humbling yourself before God, right? Remember, it's not so much the length of time. God will direct you for the length of time. I always do this now. I start out saying I'm going to fast perhaps maybe one day. Rather than saying 3 days out or even 7 days out, I'll say I'm going to fast for one day. At the end of that one day, as I'm praying, I ask the Lord, should I continue? Sometimes I go longer. Sometimes I stop. If I feel like I need to stop at that point, that there's no other reason to continue, well, I stop. This is key to all of this, by the way. If you do not succeed in your fast, don't give up. It's a discipline. Don't we tell our children when they try to hit that baseball for the first time, that T-ball, and they get mad and they throw the bat down and they want to walk off, you want to get them back up on that and do that again, or even riding a bicycle. It takes practice. Well, Bill Bright wrote an interesting article, I think, and this is his website. I know it's hard to read from up there. I have 10 copies of what's up there on that website. So whoever would rather have a paper copy, I've got 10 of them. If I run out, if you write your name down, I'll run you some copies. I can also send it to you by email. I have it, this, what I'm holding in my hand. It's 14 pages, easy to read, because it's not all full. The guy fasted 40 days at least four times that I know of. I think he knows a little bit about what he's talking about, what to expect, much more detail than I've given today. So I've got 10 copies. You're welcome to them, or I can send them by email. Just write it on a little card like this. Just come up here and grab a card and let me know whether or not you want a copy, if you want it emailed, or if you want both. If you want a paper copy and emailed, I'll do both. I think Bill Bright has some information that he can expound on what I've done today. Remember, next week, homework, Ezra 8, 21 through 23. You might even want to read the story of Ezra. Esther chapter 4. And we'll talk about that in a little more detail next week. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you will help us to take this information, that we meditate on it, Lord, and that we look at its value, and that we decide, Lord, that it is of value to our spiritual walk with you, and Lord, that you will help us and guide us into following this discipline. For we ask in the name of Jesus, for his sake and for his glory alone. Amen. Praise the Lord.